Obviously, he wouldn't have gotten the answers he was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, Jim indicated that he, you know, maybe he was afraid that talking to the Liberty Vets would blow his thesis out of the water.
Well, he's got a web page. What is it? Honest Reporting?
Something like that. Yeah.
And four times I put the items on there asking him to please respond.
Mm-hmm.
I wait a month and I say, where is the answer? Oh, it must have gotten misplaced.
Yeah, well, he didn't want to talk to me because he identifies me in his book as a pro-conspiracy public relations person.
Anyone that's looking for the truth is a conspirator.
This is a difficult problem because you keep throwing that around too much, and I don't know if that's like crying wolf, but it eventually makes you sound like kind of a nut. You know, if people don't agree with me, they must be this must be their problem. Crystal says, did you read his book, by the way?
Yes.
You did? Okay, well, he mentions that ship-to-ship communications were impossible between Washington and the Liberty because there were, secure lines didn't exist then.
He mentioned secure.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he gets away with telling what he did. There were plenty of lines, but there was no secure line to the ship.
Mm-hmm. And so a standard clear comm or clear voice is used.
Well, the gentleman at Fort Lyote that patched McNamara through is willing to testify to that effect. He said when Johnson came on the line, he turned chicken and got off, but he listened to McNamara come on talking to Admiral Geis.
He did. Well, that's, I didn't know about that. Has that been referenced anywhere?
Yeah. Jim Ennis has it, I know. Rich Schmucker would have it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Either one of them.
Did you know Oliver Kirby?
No, I didn't.
You know, of course, that he's the one who started the AGTR program. He had some interesting things to say.
I thought that was Orlando Gallegos.
Orlando Gallegos?
Yeah.
Well, I thought that the Kirby was the, quote, godfather of the...
Gallegos was the one that got us to put out the Pueblo and the Banner and those. He was an aficionado of the Soviet tuna trawlers, and he wanted smaller ones, that's right.
And who did, Gallegos?
Gallegos.
Uh-huh. But you hadn't heard of Kirby in connection with the founding of the Liberty, sort of program, right?
No, that was my first sea duty, and I hadn't been in the AGTR program before.
Oh, I see. Okay. Speaking of that, you were on loan to NSA from the Navy?
No, none of us were. We all worked for the Naval Security Group.
Okay.
If NSA wanted to task, they had to go up to the Joint Chiefs of Staff and back down through the Navy.
Okay. Let me see. This if you'll forgive me, I have... these things are a bit scattered, so it is a rough order to them, believe it or not. LBJ may have feared that the possibility of World War III if U.S. jets found the Liberty had been attacked by Arabs and the Russians had responded. Is that a scenario that makes sense as far as the recall order is concerned?
No, I don't know.
Maybe.
I can't prove it, but I have another scenario in mind.
Mm-hmm. And what's yours?
LBJ was so determined that he had to overthrow Gamal Abdel Nasser, much as Bush wants to overthrow Saddam Hussein,
mm-hmm.
so that what would have happened had the ship sunk and Israel had killed all survivors without being identified when the wreckage came ashore the next day.
Right.
Now, I think that it was the setup, and we were the sacrificial lamb so that he could get rid of NASA.
And do you have anything other than surmise, too?
Just from the Russian side.
Yeah.
They found out about his plan, whatever it was, and they were able to deploy nuclear submarines in anticipation of it.
And were there Russian subs around at that time? We heard of the Amberjack, et cetera.
The skipper of the Russian sub just put a big article in Pravda here last month,
mm-hmm.
saying that he had orders that once the U.S. Overflew Egypt, he was to eliminate Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He had problems because he didn't have time to change the warheads, and he had surface-to-surface nuclear warheads. And he said that he had the only place that he could get the visibility, the lighting that the warhead needed was the Dome of the Rock. So he had targeted the Dome of the Rock.
Did you have personal knowledge at that time or subsequent of the Amberjack or any other U.S. submarines?
No.
And what about the EC-121?
No, nobody told us anything.
Would you have preferred, had they?
Well, if they had, I would be less conspiratorial in my thinking.
Well, it was that standard procedure for NSA aircraft and ships to be out of touch?
No.
Normally they would have been in touch.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, pardon the lack of nomenclature, but there wouldn't have been something like standing orders? To keep one aware of the other's presence?
If we're put into the face of danger and someone else is there, we should have been notified. That's standard operating procedure, yes.
Would you have been able to communicate with the EC?
I don't know. They were strictly VHF, UHF, and we were predominantly HF, but we had the moon relay communications, the first satellite communications. It was SHF.
You had the microwave dish.
We had the two dishes, the microwave intercept dish and the big 18-foot moon bounce dish.
Mm-hmm. And did all the Liberty ships, all of the AGTR ships have that capability?
No. Well, ours was the XN-1 model, the first one ever made.
Oh, I see. So the sister ships had less technical stuff.
Right.
There are communications tapes that have been discussed from Bamford, et cetera. Do you know whether or not they still exist at NSA or otherwise?
I have no idea. They refuse to tell us.
Mm-hmm. Can former NSA employees or Naval Security Group people go to hear such things if they get clearance?
I suppose if they get clearance, but if those things haven't been declassified by now, they have such a high classification that probably only 8 to 10 people in the country can see them.
Mm-hmm. And would you suspect that it's a political classification as well as a technical security classification?
My last tour at NSA, I had 30 by eyes only clearances. That's how they restrict it. When you get above the highest classification, it's by the name on the door only.
I've heard from Bamford that there's a museum in Israel where the attackers are honored. Do you know that to be a fact? Do you know where the museum is?
No. I know that Angleton has a memorial to him over there.
Right. But he's the only Gentile who's so honored, I hear. Speaking of Angleton, do you know whether or not Jim Angleton Jr. of ASIO, the Association of Former Intelligence Officers, is the son of...
No, I don't know his family at all.
Robert Wilson has been referenced several times. Do you know if he's still alive, or do you have any contact information? He was one of the NSA, if you will, strict NSA civilian employees, along with Blue and the other fellow. Did you know, or do you know Mike Levin?
No.
NSA classification officer who apparently is responsible for a lot of the redactions on that 1981 report that came out.
Have you talked to Rich Schmucker at all?
I have talked to him a bit. He sent me the entire redacted report, and he may have that since I know he's
got a repository of every bit of esoterica that has ever been published.
Liberty Central. And
Liberty Central, we call it. Yeah.
Right. On the Court of Inquiry, there are a lot of guys who say that damning testimony or inculpatory testimony and evidence that wasn't entered or even taken. Did that apply to any of your stuff?
Nobody ever invited me.
But you were a ship's officer.
I was in charge of the security group. I had 195 people working for me out of a crew of 295.
Wouldn't it have been sort of important to hear what you had to say?
Well, if they wanted to hear what I had to say, yes. I was medevaced early to the America.
Because you were burned.
Yeah. And from the America, I was taken by way of Malta and while the Court of Inquiry was going on, and I was ordered not to leave the plane.
Could you have submitted via tape recording? Standard little handheld type cassette tape?
Had I been invited, yes.
Did you ever talk to Merlin Starring or to anybody else afterwards and say, hey, you know, what about me?
Only at our reunion in Pensacola this last January. First I heard of Merlin Starring. Interesting, because he was a classmate of our local newspaper editor.
Wow. And then there's Ward Boston, who said he dropped a bombshell, let's face it.
I know he did.
A couple of years ago. Back on the Admiral Geis story, that was he died in like 90 or so?
Yeah.
And he had sworn you to secrecy about the...
Yeah. When I spoke to Admiral Moore and he told me that Admiral Geis had passed away, that's when I decided I didn't need to hold it in any longer.
Well, I mean, this is it's the most astounding part of the recall story, of course. Now, you said that there's somebody who was aware of Johnson's kind of prickly response on this and embarrassing the Allies and so on.
Well, the guy that patched McNamara through said when Johnson came on the line, he chickened out and he got off the line.
The guy who patched him got chickened out,
They called from Washington to Port Lyote and was patched from Port Lyote on through.
Where's Port Lyote?
Morocco.
I see.
That was our major relay station.
And this was by unsecure voice comment, right?
Yeah, clear line.
Do you think that maybe there's a... Did the White House record all of its conversations, and if so, would this be extant in the LBJ library or someplace, do you think?
Well, when the BBC was putting together this two-hour documentary, they went to the LBJ library and were told that there were no hotline messages during that time frame. So they went to Moscow and collected some, translated them, took them to the LBJ library and said, here, you might want these.
Is there anything inculpatory?
I don't know what the contents of them were.
I'd like to talk to Mr. Winham, who is, the producer or researcher for that documentary. He's in London, I suppose. Maybe he would be able to say. Somebody sent me an email about the MoLink, the Moscow to Washington hotline. Were you privy to any of that because of your position, or afterwards be able to, look into what might have been discussed?
Nobody. The only people that talked to me after the attack was the State Department when they were preparing the claims against Israel. And when I got ready to retire, I went to the same guy who negotiated with me, and I said, I'd like to get the copy of that from my record because you listed me as partially disabled. And he said, I've never heard of the Liberty.
One of the many.
One of the many. So what's so secretive about the negotiations with Israel for the compensation? Well, the cover-up was so all-pervasive, it's ridiculous.
Let me play the devil's advocate. This was a mobile platform involved in very, very classified work at a time when NSA didn't even officially exist, according to Bamford. Would it have been normal for the U.S. just on that basis to want to also maybe because it was secret stuff you were doing, and they didn't want to compromise.
Well, along that line of reasoning, there was one of the officials in Washington who suggested that the U.S. finish a ship off so there wouldn't be any classified information revealed.
You're talking about Vineyard.
Yeah.
But I thought that, I mean, Innes mentioned this to me, but, and I think I got something from Smucker around about this, but, you know, obviously would not finish it off while there were men on board.
Wouldn't they? I don't know.
I guess your cynicism goes all the way deep, yeah.
I'm afraid if Johnson set us up to be killed, and there's no limit to how far he could have gone in doing so.
How could any pilot, let alone the probably brilliant pilots of the Israeli Air Force, circle around the ship for so long and see that it didn't have any cannons sticking out and decide that it could still have posed any threat to their country?
They flew close enough so they knew beyond any shadow of a doubt we weren't any threat. There's no question there.
Did you, during the attack, or shortly before, notice the flag standing out?
No, I'll have to admit, I wasn't looking for it.
Okay.
I was up on deck for a while, watching the planes fly by, and we all waved to them, they waved back. They were that close, but...
And you were on deck, obviously, during the... No, you weren't.
No,
you,
I wasn't on deck.
You were down when the torpedo went off.
Yeah.
God's sake, you,
they tell me I was less than 10 feet from the torpedo when it detonated.
That's just horrific and astounding. I so honor your service.
The good Lord wraps a bulkhead around me to shield me from the blast.
Seems so. But what about the incident of the life rafts? Do you know any of the guys who were, I mean, obviously you know Painter. Do you know any others who haven't spoken on this matter of the machine?
No. No, I've spoken to Lloyd about it. There's no doubt in his mind. But to start with, you know they sent each of us to a different duty station, so
yes.
None of us could communicate.
I do know that.
Yeah.
That was thoughtful of them, or it was...
I had to do penance for the attack.
What do you mean?
Since I got out of the hospital, Admiral Cook called me in. He started off the conversation, "Lewis, goddamn you just scuttled my whole fleet." I said, "What do you mean, Admiral?" He said, "Now any third-rate power will attack us with impunity." Now that was 1 week before the Pueblo. He said, "You're going to do penance." I said, aye, Admiral, what would you like me to do?" He said, "Replace my fleet."
Yeah.
So he gave me $15 million a year for 3 years in R&D funds, and then $450 million procurement funds. There aren't any unarmed collection vessels out there any longer.
Are there any collection vessels at all?
Oh, yes. We put them in the Lance helicopter hangar, where it wasn't being used.
The what helicopter?
Lance, L-A-M-P-S, is the acronym. I don't know what the long title was.
And these are similar sized vessels that today are roaming around?
They're destroyers and frigates and cruisers. They're combatants.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they're combatants, because they're listening posts, but they're armed listening posts, right?
Yeah. We were able to put a phased array and a barometer on board each one with halfway folded dipoles all the way around the gunnels with insulation, so to insulate it from the metal of the ship. Prior to that direction finding, you were lucky to get port or starboard. And with that, we were able to get 1 or 2 degree accuracy, and that's why all the 900-foot diameter woolen webbers are disappearing now.
And there are on station today these types of craft. What about the? I think I asked you about the intercept of the Israeli communications. Crystal makes a deal out of there not being any Hebrew linguists on board, but of course there was Mr. Blue and possibly others, according to Jim Innes.
I spoke to a guy at the reunion who said that Alan Blue was definitely an official linguist, but talking to his widow, Pat, she said he was a great student of languages, and she knew he studied. He spoke Hebrew, but she didn't know that he'd ever studied it in the employment of the U.S. government.
And was there anybody else on board?
No. No, he was the only one.
And do you suppose he's the one who told the chief intercept operator, don't worry, they found out that who we are, that they saw the flag, we have overheard their communication, so don't worry. This is when Ennis said he was worried about all these different orbits.
That could very well have been.
Was the chief intercept operator, he worked for you, right?
Yes.
And he was up in the upper decks or on the upper superstructure where Ennis?
He was running all over the ship.
Okay. So it would have been very possible for him to have gotten from Mr. Blue, the positive ID.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crystal talked about various versions of events in which you were involved. Can you clarify any of them? I don't have his book right in front of me, but wait, here's something.
I got his book right behind me if I can get him to dig it out.
Page like 96, 97, 101. It says that maybe the fact that you were burned did something to your memory.
He's looking for excuses anywhere he can find them, isn't he?
I guess so. And he was with the American Navy, wasn't he? Not the Israeli.
Yeah.
Messages sent by Admiral Martin in June 67 flatly contradict the story told by Lewis, Ennis, and Tully. Admiral Martin told a press conference, page 99.
Now, I can't speak to that, but my Naval Academy Playview roommate has been in touch with me for the last year or so. I hadn't seen him before. And he was in the war room with Admiral Martin. And he said that Admiral Martin made a big show of saying, who in hell is that ship and what are they doing there? And his intelligence officer told him that was an NSA ship and he had no control over it. Well, when we chopped through Gibraltar, we reported to Admiral Martin. Admiral Martin sent us messages saying he'd like to come visit.
Mm-hmm.
He had never been on one before. He sent another message saying he couldn't make it. We sent him a message saying we would like an armed escort, and he sent a message back saying it wasn't necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And now, for the record, none of this happens to be true. Apparently, Admiral Martin was in on the cover-up, too.
Mm. All right,
if it started at the top, I guess it could go all the way down the chain.
Well, then it comes to the matter of even Captain McGonagall. Is there some suspicion that he changed Ennis's logs?
Yes, and Captain McGonagall, when he was in the sheets a couple times before he passed on, confessed that he had fabricated things and agreed with the Court of Inquiry in exchange for getting his fourth stripe and the Congressional Medal of Honor and a new command.
No kidding.
But he asked that not be put in the official record.
Would you want that just not to be put in my record?
Out of honor to his name, I'd rather it not be put in, but
okay.
You can make insinuations about it. There are enough people that know about it.
Okay. He says in 98-99, Lewis and Tully claimed the planes were launched from the Saratoga, and his claims they were launched from the America. Lewis and Tully claimed that, like I said, the aircraft were recalled by voice command by Secretary of Defense McNamara, confirmed by voice command, both speaking out of more guys. You see what I'm referencing here? Bottom 98,
yeah.
Top 99.
Well, I'm on the bottom of 97, but where Lewis quotes Geis as saying, I never said that they were carrying nuclear arms. Geis never told me they were carrying nuclear arms, but we have had some confirmations that they might have been.
Right.
What Geis said was that he figured that some idiot in Washington thought he was stupid enough to launch nuclear weaponry, and that's why they were recalled.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he reconfigured the aircraft and launched again and again notified Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's another thing that Crystal disagrees with. He says that Geis was too good a sailor. But President Eisenhower was the one that introduced the Criticom network. he was disgusted that it took so long for critical intelligence to get to him. So we set up the system where if you typed in the word critic, C-R-I-T-I-C, at the head of the message, it closed all switches worldwide until the thing got to the White House,
mm-hmm.
with a goal of having it there in less than 2 minutes. And Admiral Dice was under orders to report critical intelligence, and I rather doubt that he was such a poor sailor he wouldn't comply with the president's request.
Mm-hmm.
So that shoots down Crystal's argument there.
Yeah. And then he says on middle 98, the nature of these radio telephone calls, the U.S. didn't have the ability to... Oh, right, we discussed that. It is a secure telephone.
He knows absolutely nothing about communications. For one thing, we were at the peak of the 11-year sunspot cycle, and VHF can be heard for up to 1,000 miles during those sunspot periods. And he says that if we moved 100 miles offshore, we'd have lost total capability. Now, that's not so. And he makes this distinction about secure communications when we had plenty of plain language. In times of hostilities, you don't worry about security.
Right.
I know one of my sailors was sitting there in a comm center. He filled his breeches and wet his pants and said he couldn't get out. The crypto was down. I said, well, bypass the goddamn thing and send an SOS.
Right, this is what you told Bamford.
I don't know if... I never spoke to Bamford.
He must have gotten it.
He got it for someone.
Yeah. Venice or something. Yeah. You did speak to Crystal, didn't you?
No, he's refused to talk to me.
Oh.
Huh.
And he's only talked to like 5 or 6 guys and something like 100 Israelis. That seems a bit unbalanced.
Well, of those 5 or 6, at least 3 denied that it ever happened.
Who was that? Was that Painter? Painter was one of them?
Painter was one. Yeah. Bennett was one. Bennett's disappeared. We don't know what happened to him.
Yeah. Could he still be alive? Or?
He's still alive, but he doesn't want to be found.
Is there anybody that you know who would like to be found and might want to be quoted for this piece?
Well, I don't know. I wish I could get the truth out of Bennett. I'm told that his Silver Star was based on saving my life, and I spoke to the third-class seaman who pulled me out.
Mm-hmm. And your sight was completely restored after they got the splinters out or whatever.
Yeah.
But your hearing is fairly okay now. But it blew out your eardrums.
It took out both eardrums. They gave me replacement eardrums in the Navy.
Yeah. And they worked out pretty good at times.
Yeah. I'm wearing hearing aids, but yeah, they worked pretty good.
Do you have anything that you're going to be writing up yourself by way of a memoir or just continuing to put the word out and hope that there will be this a probe by the Congress?
I hope they will. All we've ever asked for is the truth. If all of us are crazy, then prove it. I find it hard to believe that everyone could be wrong.
Except for Mr. Crystal and Israel?
Yeah.
And the United States, which still refuses to let the guys testify.
Well, I spoke to John McCain when he was politicking up here, and he said if we could find anything new, he would make sure that Congress investigated it.
Really?
But he not only didn't do that, he jumped on Crystal's bandwagon as soon as the book came out.
Oh, that was honorable.
Yeah.
what would he consider new? I mean...
Well, I got the so-called Liberty Package from Rich Smucker, 2.5 inches thick, that I presented to McCain. I never got any feedback on it.
Well, you know as well as I do that this is a loser for any politician.
Yeah, I know.
But it should be a matter of some curiosity now with the war that we're planning to do. Because,
yeah.
You know, the Navy guys ought to, you know, think about, well, what happens if there's another, quote, mistake? They're going to stand by us or not.
Yep. Oh, I know.
I guess that's about all I have now, Dave. And if I have a follow-up or two, can I get back to you?
Of course you can.
I appreciate it. I'm going to be wrapping this thing up.
I wish I had more to offer, but
no,
I wasn't topside, so I didn't see any of it. I have to take other people's word for that.
Right. And there, none of the guys, I think there must be over 200 survivors of this, veterans of this, who accept Crystal's thesis. nobody buys.
Nobody buys it. Yeah. I thought you were saying there were 200 survivors that bought it. No. I know of no one that agrees with Crystal.
Well, listen. You've been a great gentleman, and it was an honor to speak to you. And I will possibly be back maybe later this afternoon, if that's okay.
Yeah.
After I review my checks here.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.